Hello, and welcome to the audio transcription of The Back Page,
the Talking Sports newspaper,
dated the 29th of May to the 4th of June, 2019. Produced by Vista. Telephone 0116 249 8839. Items are selected, read and recorded by the Gartry Audio Services team. The team members this week are
Andrew,
Daniel,
Jeff,
Ian,
Malcolm,
and Peter.
Angling.
Steve denied Golden Peg prize by £4. It was a close-run thing for Top Spot at Lakeview last Wednesday, as Steve Fletcher missed out on the Golden Peg money by just £4. Rob Souter took the veterans' match from Peg 13 on stream, where he found some excellent fish close in and caught regularly to finish with £87. Runner-up Steve had the small consolation of taking his section with £83 from Peg 18, catching the bulk of his fish on caster down the margin. Dirk Williams was between these anglers and had to settle for third with £48. The weights were not so good on river, where the fish did not show until the last 2 hours. Mark Footit was first on the lake from Peg 7 with £57 taken on caster, while Cliff Adcock was second from Peg 1 with £53 caught close in on corn. Alan Marshall was third on Peg 15 with £51. Stream and river were used again for Saturday's match and weights were good all round. Stream again produced the best and Steve Cuthbert on Peg 19 came out on top with £65 taken on pellet down the track. Chris Shaw, opposite on Golden Peg 3, was second with £58 taking most of his catch on pellet across the island, and third on the lake was Roger Holmes with £56. The far bank produced the top two weights on river, with Steve Beckhurst using pace down the track to top the lot with £45 from Peg 18. Brian Nichols was second with £38 from Peg 15, taken on corn down the track, and John Cook finished third with £35. Unstoppable Mick West claimed his fourth win on the trot on Sunday to add the Aspordby and Melton Society of Anglers Spring League to his Winter League title. Drawn on Peg 21, he fished pellet on the pole to weigh in £27 5 ounces. Runner-up Steve Fletcher on Peg 15 fished maggot to finish with £22 3 ounces. Mike Smith had £13 5 ounces on pellet from Peg 5 for third place. And Baz Hatton on Peg 10 took fourth place with £11 3 ounces. Both Tony Blackwell and Steve Haywood were in the money on Sunday after both took home a Golden Peg bonus at Lakeview Fishery. Blackwell won the Sunday Open match from the Lagoon's Golden Peg 10 to earn a £120 bonus, having caught almost £136. And match runner-up Haywood was top weight on Marina from Golden Peg 4 to claim an £80 bonus. Dave White and Ken Dawes were the latest to qualify for the Midi MX Luggage Spring and Summer Series two-day final in August, after finishing second in their qualifiers last week. White landed £71 to finish top on Marina and less than £2 behind overall Wednesday winner Sean Huggins, who took £73 from Peg 21 on Serpent. But with Huggins already through to the August final, White took the spot. It was the same story on Saturday when Ken Dawes took the place after finishing runner-up to Jimmy Folks. Dawes looked set to win the match with a total weight of £170, but had one net disqualified, taking his tally down to £100 to drop him below Folks's £113 haul.
Athletics.
Wallace is a winner in Harborough's fine showing in League Encounter. Beth Wallace starred for Harborough AC in the Midlands Track and Field League match at Corby. Wallace won the women's high jump in a season's best 1.43 metres before running second leg on the 4x400m relay team, which set a new club record of 4 hours 28 minutes and 1 second, taking over 6 seconds off the previous mark. Many athletes took part in multiple events, but none could match the efforts of Gary Hodgkins. 800 metres, 5,000 metres, shot, hammer and javelin. Harborough are placed 6th in Division 5 with 3 matches to come. Club records were also achieved by Karen Brooks and Richard Brown in their respective age groups at the Rugby 6 Miler. Race 2 in the East Midlands Grand Prix Series, with David McLean first back for the club in 40 minutes 42 seconds. Richard Bufton ran an impressive 1 hour 35 minutes 38 seconds over the undulating Bosworth Half Marathon course in the Leicester Road Running League to take first place in the MV60 category, following this up a week later with second place in the category at the West End 8-mile race. 13 Harborough members posted times ranging from 41 to 83 minutes in the Vitality Westminster 10K race in London on the Bank Holiday Monday, while in Wales, Ben Smith took part in the challenging Carter Idris Mountain Race, a 10.5-mile race with 915 metres of climbing. Club spokesman Will Clapp said, "We were represented across the different disciplines at Corby, showing once again that we can be competitive, even without having our own track facility." Fleckney and Kibworth member Alex Smith tackled his first full marathon in atrocious conditions in Edinburgh. Smith managed to get round under the 4-hour barrier in 3 hours, 59 minutes and 22 seconds, for position 2,355 in a field of over 7,000 runners. Meanwhile, Michelle Hodgkinson was competing in the half marathon and also battled the elements to get round in 2 hours, 28 minutes and 8 seconds. F&K runners also headed down to the capital for the Vitality Westminster 10K on Bank Holiday Monday. Graham Pickering was first male for the club in a time of 51 minutes and 38 seconds, with Joe Rain taking the ladies' honours in 1 hour, 1 minute and 14 seconds. Dan Pedley was next in 1 hour, 5 minutes and 25 seconds, while Natalie Gray, 1 hour, 7 minutes and 1 seconds, and Claire Tector in 1 hour, 13 minutes and 15 seconds, completed the placings. Students from Welland Park Academy completed a historic treble when they competed in South Leicestershire Schools Athletics Association Area Championships. The under-13s, under-15s and under-17s, which included over 100 athletes, all won their respective age groups, the first time the school has ever achieved this success. As a result, 35 students have also qualified for the county championships on June the 8th.
Mari makes squad for World Student Games. Rising middle distance runner Mari Smith will pull on the British vest once more this summer after being selected for the World Student Games squad. Smith, who grew up in Frisby, was named in the 24-strong British athletics squad to run the 800 metres at the showpiece event, which will be staged in Naples, Italy, in July. It is the 22-year-old's second call-up to a British squad this year and follows her stunning performance at the European Indoor Championships in February. The University of Birmingham student came through heats and semi-final to reach the 800-metre final at her first major senior international meet. Her fifth-place finish in Glasgow came hot on the heels of a brilliant silver medal at the British Indoor Championships in Birmingham. It proved enough for her adopted city to last month name her among the 30 most inspiring young people in Birmingham. The World Student Games runs from Monday, July the 8th to Saturday, July the 13th.
Badminton.
County Award caps year to remember for Orgies. Melton Old Grammarians Badminton Club captain Neil Hunt hailed one of the club's best years in recent times on and off the court. The skipper believes a combination of well-attended club nights, a good team performance and major junior development programme has left the club in good shape. "It was one of the best years Orgies has enjoyed in a very long time," he said. "Adult membership remains particularly strong, with club nights being extremely well attended. The test of the health of any club is the everyday activity of its members, and in addition to big numbers, there has been a very enjoyable atmosphere at the club throughout the season. We have also seen solid team performances, despite an extensive injury list that saw many of our stronger players miss a number of matches. In a competitive division dominated by Longslade Stonygate, the Orgies mixed team finished a highly creditable third, while the men's team won 6 of 10 matches to finish second in their division, narrowly missing out on promotion to a dominant Quorn team. The Orgies ladies had a tough season in their division, which was dominated by Panthers and Croakers, but numbers continued to grow. But Neil was most encouraged by the development of junior badminton in Melton after an Orgies-led programme. More than 350 children took part in the programme last season, while attendance at the Orgies' regular junior and intermediate coaching sessions remained strong. "We are very fortunate that in Linda Hallam and Trevor Sanders, we have two qualified coaches who devote endless time to our junior programme," he added. "And with help from Claire Marlowe, England Badminton and Leicestershire and Rutland Sport, we've put in place a comprehensive programme which ensures children across the Melton area have access to our sport. OG's junior, Robin Warwick, also won the under-17s title at the Derek Meakin Memorial Cup, held at the Hermitage Leisure Centre, while Emma Coffey and Amy John finished fourth in their event. The Leicestershire Badminton Association also recognised the long service of club stalwart Sandra Waterman by presenting her with the Meritorious Award at their annual dinner at Loughborough Town Hall. Neil said, "Sandra's service to both the club and Leicestershire Badminton generally has been unstinting, and the award is well deserved. Sandra reflects everything that is good about OGs as a club. All in all, we can reflect on a great 2018-19, and now the concentration is on ensuring further improvement when the 19-20 season begins in September. Visit www.meltonogbc.co.uk for further information on Old Grammarians Badminton Club.
Bowls.
Melton Club celebrates success on and off the green. Melton Indoor Bowls Club capped a successful season on Saturday when the newly refurbished club was officially opened. The club's new president, Deepak Tanner, and 2018 president, Pat Wright, were among a host of Melton IBC officials to welcome Mayor of Melton, Malise Graham, and Deputy Peter Faulkner to mark the occasion. Mr. Graham was shown several improvements made to the club before cutting the ribbon and bowling the first wood on the club's new playing surface. It began a match and gala between Melton's interleague team, which won the county league for the first time in the competition's 25-year history. The works were designed to enhance Melton's reputation as one of the best venues in the country, having hosted the EIBA National Championships for most of the last 3 decades. This year, the club also held the National Short Map Bowls Championships over Easter and will host a big national match on October the 17th when Bowls England take on EIBA indoors, 4 days after a 40-year county anniversary match between LIBA and Disability Bowls England. The clubs will also stage trials for the EIBA under-18 squad ahead of a mixed international series, as well as the EYDS National School of Excellence finals in October. The club's Mission 650 recruitment initiative, devised by their management committee, has also been adopted as a template by other clubs nationally to stop the decline in memberships. Other achievements during the 2018-19 season include a county singles title for Chris Rogers and the county under-16s crown for promising Isabel Pym, while John Robinson and Peter Breeze were county over-60s men's pairs champions. Melton also won the county under-18s junior league champions and defended their over-60s Midland Counties League Division 1 title.
City News.
We knew we had to deliver for our fans. We couldn't let them down a third year. When Aston Villa take on Derby County in the Championship playoff final on Monday, former Leicester City skipper Steve Walsh will be watching on with mixed emotions. On one hand, it was against the Rams in 1994 that Walsh famously scored twice as City came from behind to finally reach the Premier League. However, while Villa are looking to bounce back after their playoff final defeat to Fulham last season, Walsh has contrasting memories of City's 2 devastating defeats to Blackburn Rovers and Swindon Town in 1992 and 1993. Walsh described the pain of those losses as some of the worst he had experienced in his career, so he will know what the Villa players are feeling if it is Frank Lampard's side that come out on top. Against Blackburn in the first game, it was a debatable penalty, and the next year we fought back superbly against Swindon from 3-0, with Walsh one of the goal scorers, only to suffer the late winner, Walsh told the Mercury. It is the worst feeling you could have. Mentally, you had to be strong. When we got to the third final, it was something else. To get there 3 times in consecutive years was unheard of. Brian Little said he had a 3-year plan and it worked perfectly. I wasn't actually fit to play in the Derby final. I had been struggling in the semi-finals, but it was an amazing feeling to get to the final again. I was coming back from a cruciate ligament injury, which made it so much harder to be involved, to be fit enough to play, but I knew I had to play. The team needed me, I felt. Brian asked me if I was fit, and I said yes, when I wasn't. I remember him asking me if I was 70% fit on the Friday before the game. I said I was, but I wasn't. Then, the team meeting on the day of the game at the hotel, he named the team, and I was in shock. Not because he had named me, because I knew he would, but the fact I was up front with Ewan Roberts and Ian Almondroyd. It was a bit of a strange one. I didn't think the tactics would work, but they did. It was a memory I would never forget. Little has said after the first two finals, there wasn't any sense that City were going out to enjoy the day at Wembley, just a steely determination to win, and Walsh agrees. I guess when we had been in two finals and lost in the fashion we did, there was no way we would lose that game, Walsh recalled. But we knew we had to deliver, and Derby missed some great chances on that day. They should have won the game, but something was written in the stars as far as I was concerned. We deserved it because of the efforts we had put in the seasons before that. I can remember pulling up at the gates going down Wembley Way and seeing the sea of blue and thinking, we can't disappoint them again. It was heartbreaking after the fans were going through it in the first two finals, as well as the players who also played in those games. It hurts to lose those games. I remember after the Swindon one, when we were led onto the pitch, that REM song was playing, Everybody Hurts. We were thinking, this isn't going to happen to us again this year. Derby had probably better technical players, but we had the spirit and the fight, and we beat them. The fighting spirit came through. We played better in the Swindon final, which was a terrific game. There was more controversy. As we got back to 3-3, there was only going to be one winner, and we lost in the way we did, and it was devastating. Walsh will be watching on keenly to see which of City's Midlands rivals will be lining up against them in the Premier League next season. I was pleased both of them made it through to the final, Walsh said. It's such a big final. I want to be playing against one of them next season because derbies are such big games, with Wolves as well. I love the games we play against them. Villa are favourites and probably the better team, but don't underestimate Derby because they have the same spirit we had. It might be their turn. You never know.
League 2 Cheltenham is the latest away outing.
Leicester City have announced a pre-season trip to League 2 side Cheltenham Town as they continue to fill up their summer schedule. City's visit to Waddon Road on Saturday, July the 20th, a 3pm kickoff, is the fifth away outing organised for the summer so far, with manager Brendan Rodgers looking to keep his side local. The Cheltenham fixture will be the second of the five games after the pre-season opener at Scunthorpe on Tuesday, July the 16th. Trips to Cambridge, Rotherham United and Stoke City then follow, with a home friendly against a European opponent expected to be set up for the weekend before the new Premier League season kicks off. The meeting with Cheltenham will be City's first with the Robins since the 2008-2009 League One season, when Leicester won 4-0 home and away.
The pre-season schedule so far is as follows.
Scunthorpe versus City, Glanford Park, Tuesday, July the 16th, 7:30pm kickoff. Cheltenham versus City, Waddon Road, Saturday, July the 20th, 3pm kickoff. Cambridge versus City, Abbey Stadium, Tuesday, July the 23rd, 7:30pm kickoff. Stoke versus City, Bet365 Stadium, Saturday, July the 27th, 3pm kickoff. Rotherham versus City, New York Stadium, Saturday, July the 27th, 3pm kickoff.
Title-winning back four to reunite for charity match. The band are getting back together. Leicester City's title-winning defence will reunite this summer when a host of stars get together for a charity match in New York. The All-Star Clash will take place at Christian Fuchs' new Hudson Sports Complex, marking the grand opening of the venue in the US, with proceeds going to charity Beautiful People, which provides adaptive sports for children with disability. The game will feature a wide array of players and ex-players, including all of City's title-winning defence, with Robert Huth, Wes Morgan, Danny Simpson and, of course, Fuchs featuring. It will be the first time all four have played together since Robert Huth hung up his boots in 2018. This summer, Simpson will become the next to depart at the end of his City contract, while Fuchs and Morgan have both penned contract extensions. A number of ex-stars will also feature in the charity event, including Jamie Redknapp and Jermaine Genus. The action kicks off at 2 p.m. local time on Saturday, June the 1st, and it will mark the official opening of the Hudson Sports Complex, which is owned by Christian Fuchs and his wife, Reluca Gold Fuchs. The facility plans to focus on professional, quality training, bringing in athletes, trainers and coaches from around the world. City fans will be pleased to know that the logo for the centre is a fox, referencing Fuchs' successful career at the King Power Stadium and the German translation of his surname.
County Cricket.
Palladino strikes back as wickets tumble on day one. Tony Palladino bowled his side back into the match after Derbyshire had been dismissed for just 139 after choosing to bat first in their Specsavers County Championship match against Leicestershire at the Fisher County Ground. The veteran seamer ended the day having taken 3 wickets and conceded only 3 runs from 9 overs of medium-pace swing bowling, ensuring a remarkable day's cricket finished roughly even. Palladino was following the example of Leicestershire's quartet of seamers who had earlier taken full advantage of the cloudy conditions. Mohamed Abbas, 3 for 38, Chris Wright, 3 for 39, Dieter Kleen, 2 for 30, and Will Davis, 2 for 15, shared the wickets on a pitch which, while offering occasional slight assistance to the bowlers, was far from the minefield the scores might suggest. Goodleman and Fellow opener Lewis Rees were made to work for every run by the accuracy of Abbas and Wright, but having seen off Abbas, the visitors lost their first wicket when Klein swung a quick delivery back into Rees and won a leg before decision. Goodleman followed without another run being added, edging Wright low to first slip, where Paul Orton owed the catch. The Leicestershire skipper owed his second catch when Davis found the edge of Middlesex loanee Tom Lace, and soon afterwards, Abbas got the reward his earlier efforts had deserved when Alex Hughes edged an outswinger to wicketkeeper Lewis Hill. There was hope for Derbyshire in the form shown by Wayne Madsen, the experienced right-hander stroking 8 boundaries in going to an unbeaten 39 at lunch. But he lost partner Harvey Ewson soon after the break, leg before to a full straight delivery from Wright, before himself being given leg before to an Abbas delivery that seemed sharply back. Matt Critchley was caught chest-high by Colin Ackerman at second slip off a bass, and Anu Dal owed at the second attempt by Harry Dearden at third slip off a full delivery from Wright. Palladino clipped Davis straight to Hassan Azad at square leg before Ravi Rampal top-edged an attempted hook at Klein to Wright at long leg. Leicestershire's batsmen fared no better, however. Orton was unfortunate, under-edging a wide-ish delivery from Palladino onto his off stump, but Atiq Javid was palpably leg before to a straight delivery before Mark Cosgrove edged Rees that bounced more than he expected low to first slip. Ackerman's dismissal leg before playing across the line to Palladino came shortly before bad light ended play 7 overs early, a further 10 overs having been lost earlier to showers. Afterwards, Palladino said, "When we got rolled over, we spoke about not trying to chase wickets, just try to bowl maidens, which we did. I got a few to nip back and got into a good rhythm. The pitch looked a good surface, and it is, for the most part, but the odd one has just sat in the surface and it was one of those days. It's not a 14 wickets in a day pitch for sure. When the lights come on, something always seems to happen with the red ball. If we can come back tomorrow and get them out for not much more than we got, it'll be a one innings game. That's the objective." Leicestershire bowler Klein said, "The way Mo Abbas and Chris Wright started was first class, and as a bowling unit as a whole, we didn't leak runs, which was key. The pitch is a little slow, which makes it difficult for the batsmen to score if the bowling is straight. Having bowled well, it was a blow to lose the wickets we did at the end, but if we can get some partnerships going tomorrow, we can get past their score and build a decent lead. We've all worked hard on our batting, and hopefully we can contribute all down the order.
County keep their hopes alive with final session blitz. Leicestershire picked up 8 wickets in the final session of the day to put the result of the match firmly back in the balance at the end of an intriguing second day in their Specsavers County Championship match against Derbyshire. The visitors ended the day leading by 179 runs with just 2 second innings wickets in hand after collapsing from 162 to 160-8. The wickets that triggered the collapse was that of Wayne Madison, who shortly after becoming the first batsman in the match to pass 50, edged a fine delivery from Mohammed Abbas to first slip. Earlier, Tony Palladino picked up 5 for 29 as Derbyshire secured an unlikely first innings lead. Having resumed on 55-4, the Foxes had taken their score on to 82 without obvious problems when Harry Dearden, having cover driven the previous ball to the boundary, drove again at the straighter delivery from Louis Rees, missed, and went leg before. Lewis Hill made just a single before edging Logan Beak to Madsen at first slip, and the New Zealander made it 2-2 balls when Dieter Klein edged a full delivery to wicketkeeper Harvey Hoisin. Chris Wright drove at a wide out swinger from Palladino and edged a catch behind. Will Davis was bowled by a full, straight delivery from Van Beek, and Abbas edged another Palladino out swinger, low to Madsen, leaving Hassan Azad, who had come out in number 3 for Leicestershire the previous day, stranded on 46 not out. Louis Rees and Billy Goldman complied a partnership of 37 when Derbyshire began their second innings before Rees fenced at the second ball after tee, a wide delivery from Davis and edged a catch behind. Abbas had Goldman caught behind, but Madsen, for the second time in the match, played quite beautifully, stroking 11 boundaries in racing to his half century before Abbas made the vital breakthrough. Wright had Tom Lace caught and bowled, a smart catch high to his left, before bowling Alex Hughes off the inside edge. Matt Crinchley played a poor shot, jabbing four Lomi at a wide delivery to edge behind. Anu Dahl was bowled off the inside edge, and Harvey Hoisin made obvious his disbelief when given out caught off the glove hooking at a high Abbas bouncer.
Agony for Nixon as gamble on new ball pays off for visitors.
"We've let supporters and ourselves down," says coach.
Derbyshire's seamers needed less than a session to take the 6 wickets needed to wrap up a 65-run win in their Specsavers County Championship match against Leicestershire at the Fisher County Ground. Leicestershire resumed their second innings on 110 for 4, needing another 124 runs to win, and Hussein Azad and Harry Dearden played solidly enough in the first half hour to give the home dressing room hope. With the score of 123, however, Derbyshire captain Billy Goldman asked for the ball to be changed. It was a risk, given it was his second, and therefore under the new rules this season, final such request, but the ball was changed and Louis Rees immediately obtained a little more swing, the left armour finding the edge as Assad's bat and Wayne Masden taking the catch. Rees then picked up the wicket of Dearden, willing a leg before decision with a full delivery into the pads. Matt Critchley, at third slip to the bowling of Logan Van Beek, juggled an edge from Dieter Klein 4 times before eventually hanging on. Lewis Hill and Will Davis edged Ravi Rampool outswingers to wicketkeeper Harvey Hosin. And last man Mohammed Abbas was bowled by Tony Palladino. Leicestershire head coach Paul Nixon said, "I feel we let ourselves down, if I'm honest. It's a key time in our season, and it would have been a real nice marker to have won the game. Our bowlers were outstanding, and they kept it a low-scoring game, but there are times in the games when we have to make things happen, not just wait for them to happen. And the third morning, when we had them 8 down and only 179 ahead, was one of those times. Their last 2 pairs added 54, and that was crucial. Even then, at 82 for 2 in our second innings, and with 2 batsmen in control, we had the game where we wanted. To go from there to 168 all out is bitterly disappointing, and it's not good enough. We've let our supporters down, and we've let ourselves down. and it hurts. We'll work harder and challenge each other more and make that hurt drive us forward.
Cycling.
Mixed bag of results for Valley veterans. There were mixed fortunes for Welland Valley CC riders in the fourth round of the League of Veteran Racing Cyclists Percy Stallard Trophy Series. On a difficult course, with long testing hills in Staffordshire, James Moore took second spot in the AB Race Bunch Sprint. Stephen Bunn chased hard in the C/D race to finish third in his age group, while Phil Rayner said he didn't have the legs on the day, and Martin Webster was unlucky to be caught up in a four-rider crash. A bumper field of 47 riders tackled Welland Valley's second 10-mile time trial of the season on the Sulby course near Husbands Bosworth. Excellent conditions saw many riders record personal bests, with guest rider Jordan Peacock quickest on the night in a scintillating 21 minutes 15 seconds. Fastest Welland Valley rider was Tom Smith, who was followed home by James Lowe and Hans van Nierop. Linda Hubbard was fastest lady, ahead of Jen Clegg and Louise Perry, and Michael Burke was the quickest road biker. In the Nev Brooks Memorial Trophy, which is awarded at the end of season for the most improved TT times, Charlie Simpson took maximum points on the night, followed by Will and Trevor Wise, Adrian Kilworth and Lorna Marlowe. Welland Valley youngster Luke Jones kept a cool head to record victory in the under-12s boys race on the Cobra circuit. Always in the thick of action, James bided his time until the last corner of the final lap to sprint clear of the field for an impressive win.
Darts.
A strong start sets Nelson up for victory.
The Nelson enjoyed a 16-11 victory over Nags B in the Market Harborough Men's Darts League. The Nelson was 7-2 up after the pairs, but Ken Woolnough reduced the arrears when beating Frankie Monk 3-0. But the Nelson won the next four singles through Ali McLean, Lee Keating, Gary Freeston and Andy Johnson before Lee Tierney gained a consolation 2-1 victory against Dave Simmons. Two informed sides clashed as the Shoulder of Mutton edged out the Old Works 15-12. The Shoulder won the pairs 5-4, but Graham Smith beat Mick Ward 3-0 to put the Works in front. However, wins for Paul Whitehill, Dave Bromley and Tom Cooper, 180, put the Bowden side in the ascendancy, and despite victories for Andy Walker, 180, and Kev Franks, it was the Shoulder who secured the success. The Harborough Cons Derby saw the C-side come out on top against the A-side by an 18-9 scoreline. The C-team dominated the pairs and went 8-1 before James Moore's 3-0 win over Jasper Jenkins consolidated their position. There was some respite for the A-side as John Lawler won 2-1. But Ray Osborne and Mark Booker, 1-2-5 finish, wrapped it up. Desborough Cons remained in third spot in the A division following a 21-6 win against the Stag. Desborough was 7-2 up after the pairs, but the Stag's Dan German arrested their slide by beating Steve Mullins 2-1. That was as good as it got for the Madewell side, as Cons won the remaining five singles through Ian Freeman, Tommy Fox, who finished on a 180, Shane White, Steve Lyne and Gary Dredge. A division leader's Nags D thrashed the George 26-1 in a very one-sided affair. Andy Shilcock, Dave Claffey, 102 finish, Damo Brennan, 170 start, Cy Almy, Tony Scotchbrook and Sean Kelly all won their singles for Nags D. The other game of the week saw Rothwell Cons beat Bullshead 17-10.
Equestrianism.
Garthorpe set to horse traditional season finale.
Racing at Garthorpe draws to a close this weekend as it hosts the traditional end to the Midlands area point-to-point season, the Meinl and South Staffordshire meet. The meeting, which has 89 entries, takes place on Saturday and begins with pony racing ahead of the first horse race at 2:30 p.m. The mixed open, off at 4:15 p.m, is the feature race and has some excellent entries. Spencer Moon, Green Winter, Steele's Terrace, Rycross, Ramble On, Bad Bad Leroy Brown and Dido are all very capable pointers, while leading jockey Gina Andrews has possible rides on Big Man Doe, a winner last weekend, Generous Ransom and Quick Oats. The opening race is the PPORA Club members race with 13 entries. Mr. Dick is top rated, but KJD, Knockout Loaded, Lake Ballaton, Lord's Park Star and Merrydown Black are all capable pointers with wins this season. Beggar's Velvet won at Dingley last weekend and ran well here last time, while By Quinny Tiep won at Thorpe on Easter Monday and Castle Cheetah was a winner last time, albeit over 2 miles and 4 furlongs. KJD might run in the following intermediate race. Others to watch out for are Hot Lips, which has won her last two outings under Lucy Turner, as has You Know the Story for Tom Ellis, and Gina Andrews' Holy Water is another contender in what looks like an open race. The Alan Hill-trained The Gunner Brady is the in-form horse in the following race for novice riders, with wins in his last two outings. Accord also won last time out over a shorter distance, while the capable Beggar's Velvet and Lord Park Star are entered in this one as well. Local interest will be behind Merry Down Black and Master Ali, who ran well at Dingley last weekend, and will represent the executors of the late Midland point-to-point stalwart, Henry Hill. The open maiden race has 11 entries, several having finished second on their last outing. Jack Andrews has options in the restricted race, which follows, with possible rides on Peregrine Falcon, Signed and Sealed, and Sting River. But Concealed Ambition will be the one to beat, after winning last weekend. The final race is a conditions race for horses without a win, other than in a members or maiden race in the last two seasons. Many horses entered elsewhere could run here, the best rated of which being Mr. Dick. Others to look out for could include Sing in the Valleys, Charles Brown, Breezy Kin, and Exclusive Rights, Mare's Allowance. John Bees ran well last weekend, and Un Wheat Wheat is surely also a contender. Beside the racing, there will be the trade stands, a bar, catering, and children's entertainment. Online tickets are £13 from midlandspointing.com/shop, and entry on the gate is £15, while under 16s are admitted free.
Faultless Tabitha earns international win. Exciting young show jumper Tabitha King maintained her excellent form by winning the Children's Grand Prix in Australia. Tabitha rode the 9-year-old Greenestown Sarco Lux Hill to victory, having also helped the Great British team to second place at the Nations Cup event. Almost a quarter of the 60-strong field jumped clear to qualify for the second round jump-off, including the Wimes World Rider. But none came close to the 11-year-old when she posted a second clear round in a time of 36.55 seconds. It made her the only rider to break the 38-second barrier and one of only three riders to achieve a penalty-free round. The win followed another double clear performance from Tabitha and Greenestown, owned by Wham's World Show jumper Holly Smith in the Children's Nations Cup the previous day. Riding under the sponsor banner of Team NAF, the four-strong British children's team secured second position on the podium. Tabitha, the daughter of successful international riders Mark and Tanya Kyle, was making her debut in the prestigious Nations Cup series.
Local cricket.
Finmore hits a ton as Bowden keep it going. Fran Finmore struck a century as Bowden maintained their good start to the Northamptonshire League Division 4 season. Batting first in their home match with St Crispin and Rylands, second, Bowden post an imposing 267/5, with Finmore leading the charge with an excellent 108, while the support came from Charlie Stanley, 40, and Josh Bott, 21 not out. In reply, St Crispin were always behind the required rate, and it was Sam Freer, 4/34, who did the damage with Bowden, while Harry Wilford claimed 2/43 to ensure the visitors fell short on 222/8 to give their home side a 43-run success. Bowden's second were also victorious as they return from Old Northamptonians, fourth, with a 53-run victory in Division 7. John Lawrence on 69 and Dan Wenlock, 46, Fergus Kenny on 26 all scored well as Bowden reached 208/6. And the hosts were then dismissed for 155, with Rob Gomez, 5/13, doing the bulk of the damage, while Kenny, 2/25, and the returning Ryan Wilson, 2/35, also performed well with the ball. Bowden Pinks sit top in the last women's stands after a win with Earthlingborough. Battling first, Pinks finished on 130/3, with Colette Wade, 55, retired, not out. Victoria Erland on 34, Flora England 33, and Kirsty Matthews 13, scoring well. In response, Earthlingborough started briskly, but their run rate started to decline, and they closed on 91/2. Bowden under-13s were edged out in a last-ball thriller against Loddington and Moresley. Finn Colley, 30, retired, and George Williams, 19, led Bowden to 89 for 6 in their 18 overs. In reply, visiting captain Ruben Singh, 30, retired, took his team to the brink of victory, but Loddington were pegged back as Dylan Pearson, Charlie Barkworth, George Williams and Jack Gray all took wickets. With two needed off the first ball, a fortunate edge flew to the boundary for four to give the visitors the victory. Market Harborough were condemned to a sixth straight defeat in Division 1 of the Everards, Leicestershire and Rutland League as they suffered a heavy 262-run loss at Hinckley Amateur. Edward Proctor struck 164 in Hinckley's 346 for 8 as Tom Bradshaw worked hard for his return of 3 for 71. But only Thomas Leonard on 44 made an impact for Harborough as they were dismissed for just 84, with Jamie Harris-Enser, 6 for 30, doing the damage. In Division 6 East, meanwhile, Dunton Bassett, 240 for 4, enjoyed a 6-wicket win over Whetstone, 236.
Fourie stars as Melton continued to set the pace.
Melton Mowbray eased by Syston Town second 11 on Saturday to strengthen their position at the top of County League Division 3. Syston arrived at the All England Sports Ground in third place, but a string of performance with the bat and then ball helped Melton to an emphatic 130-run win, which sent them 26 points clear. Carol Fourie top-scored with an unbeaten 91, with sizeable contributions from Claricoats on 57, Cusack 63 and Peverett on 47, as Melton piled up an imposing 284 for 4 from their 45 overs. Fourie and Cusack then got stuck in with the ball, taking 4 for 19 and 4 for 33 respectively, to help bowl the visitors out for 154 in the 36th over, with Jariwala on 47 top scoring in the reply. Next up for Melton is a trip to closest challengers Newbold Verdon on Saturday, a 1 p.m. start. Melton's second 11 also stayed top of Division 9 East, with a hard-fought win at Langton's third 11s. A worn wicket proved difficult for both sets of batsmen, with erratic bounce throughout the day. Langton's won the toss and elected to bat first, with father and son combination Liam and Carl Chew opening the bowling. The openers safely played out the first 6 overs, before Langton's lost 3 quick wickets, 2 to Liam and 1 to Carl. Dangerous opener Prem Manalal tried to hit his way out of trouble as the hosts were bogged down by tight, threatening bowling lines. However, he soon ran out of luck as spinner Archie Cropper had him caught on the boundary in his first over. Langton's continued to lose regular wickets, but a quick 33 from Nathan Stretton, including 2 sixes off Trish Panchal, took them to 103 before Hugo Gibbs took the last wicket in just the 25th over. Due to the early finish of the innings, Melton agreed to bat 10 overs before tea, and for the third week running, they lost an early wicket when Adam Thompson was out to the fourth ball, hitting a full toss straight to mid-off. He was soon followed back to the pavilion by Mark Mabbott and Hugo Gibbs, as Melton slumped to 15 for 3 in the 7th over. Melton were glad to reach tea with no further wickets down, but with a big rebuilding job on their hands. After tea, Malcolm Hull was soon caught behind, bringing Panchal to the wicket, who counter-attacked. He made a rapid 33 off 19 balls, including 2 straight sixes off Stretton, an apt revenge for his earlier attack on Panchal's bowling. However, the change bowler then moved him as he popped up an easy catch to mid-off. Opener James Cooley soon followed after a dogged 13 off 56 balls, anchoring the innings, and when Carl Chew dragged on, Melton was struggling at 73 for 7. But Max Brain, 4 not out, and Liam Chew, 18 not out, managed to put together a partnership of 30 as Melton scraped home by 3 wickets to win, Liam following his bowling heroics with a classy knock. Melton host local rivals Ashby Carrington on Saturday.
Local rugby.
Headquarters is calling for Harborough Pair. Running out at Twickenham is the dream of every grassroots rugby player, and next month it will come true for 2 Market Harborough stalwarts. Back rower Tim Brown and club captain Josh Purnell have been chosen for a NatWest grassroots barbarian side to play at HQ on June the 9th. They are part of the NatWest grassroots barbarians team, coached by Rugby World Cup winner Maggie Alfonsi, who will pit their wits against another team made up of players from grassroots rugby clubs across the UK, and Brown is expecting to rely on his skipper's wiles when the nerves kick on. It's incredible, it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, and I'm just excited to have the chance, says Brown. I think they've chosen the pair of us because we've got a good ethic, and we represent what the club wants to see in terms of attitude. Josh leads from the front as captain, and I've really learnt from him over the last year. He's got us promoted in our first year as captain. I drive myself to be like him, and hopefully that shows in the fact we've been chosen. Seeing him at nine, knowing he's the one passing the ball to me, will give me the confidence to play my best. NatWest Rugby Force is a long-standing initiative run by the official banking partner of England Rugby. This year, all clubs that registered for NatWest Rugby Force were entered into a draw for their chance for club players to be selected to join the Grassroots Barbarians. On June the 9th, four teams of the most committed players from clubs around the country will go head-to-head, supported by their clubs, rugby legends and current players to celebrate the grassroots game. Alfonsi, who led her squad through a coaching day in the Northwest last weekend, said, "I'm so chuffed for all the men and women who are going to have this crazy experience. My first time playing at Twickenham was for England against Scotland. I knew what the stadium was like as a fan, but to be thrown into it as a player, I was incredibly nervous. It's like Wimbledon for tennis players, Lords for cricketers. What NatWest have created is brilliant because it's all about grassroots. We can't forget where we all started. Clubs are the foundation of the game in this country, and that's where internationals are created. For these guys to go from local club to the best ground in the world will be incredible."
Motorsport.
Reading is new leader after Donington hat-trick. Scott Redding climbed to the top of the Bennetts British Superbike Championship standings after a hat-trick of victories at Donington Park over the weekend. While Redding was made to work hard in races 1 and 2, as bad starts put him on the back foot, a good getaway from the front saw him snatch the whole shot into turn 1 in the third and final race. Even so, a charging Xavi Ferez, who lost out to Redding in the dying seconds of race 2, wasted no time in getting his own back on the second lap at Redgate, before B-Wiser Ducati rider Josh Brooks followed through into second. The Australian would proceed to get in front for the first time this weekend, when Ferraz ran wide at Kopice. With Brooks struggling to string the pace out though, Redding began his charge on lap 8, first passing Ferraz, before getting the better of Brooks for the lead at the end of the back straight. From here, Redding wouldn't be headed again, helped in part by Brooks getting it wrong under braking for Roberts chicane on lap 16, and being forced to let off the brakes and run in avoidance of his teammate ahead. Pulling out a lead of more than 2 seconds, Redding eased off in the closing stages to complete a historic hat-trick on a landmark weekend for the former Moto2 runner-up. With a maximum 75 points, Redding now tops the overall standings with a 6-point advantage over Tommy Bridewell. On Saturday, Redding became the 50th different championship race winner at the circuit. On Saturday, following an incredible 4-way battle in the opening race of the triple header weekend, Redding said, "Getting the triple was just phenomenal. This is what I go racing for. Winning race 1 was so emotional, and then race 2 was just so bloody close. In race 3, I did something different to get the other two races. I got out on the front. I led a bit, and then tried to control the race, and just show that I could be strong, out front alone."
Help me raise 50 grand to become the first transgender racing driver at Le Mans.
Leicester-born racing driver Charlie Martin is asking fans to help her raise £50,000 in order to compete at Le Mans next month. Martin is aiming to be the first transgender competitor to race on the full Le Sarthe circuit during the third round of the Michelin Le Mans Cup, which will support the iconic 24 Hours of Le Mans. As the event takes part during Pride Month, Martin wants to use this opportunity to celebrate the LGBT community on the world stage and show that it is time for greater diversity and inclusion in motorsport. Martin has already stood on the podium at Le Mans in the 2017 Trophy Tourisme Endurance on her debut at a shortened version of the world-famous track, and is confident of making a big impression on what is one of the most anticipated race weekends in the world. In a video on her fundraising page, Martin said, "My priority in life is to bring us all together, so that no one ever has to hide who they really are, has to grow up feeling alone and scared, limiting their vision of what they can achieve in life because of how they were born. It's about being seen and accepted as our true selves, no matter where. That's why visibility is the key to creating real change in the world. Last year, I gave out pride stickers to all the cars racing at Silverstone for the British GT Championship. It was a world first for motorsport, and the reaction was incredible. Everyone had one in their car. It was a simple but powerful gesture, and this year I want to do something even bigger, something so big that it's a complete game changer and create LGBT visibility and awareness on a global scale." The two-race Road to Le Mans round of the Michelin Le Mans Cup will take place on June the 13th and 15th. To donate to Charlie's crowdfunding campaign, visit justgiving.com/crowdfunding/GoCharlieM. Earlier this month, it was announced that Martin had joined the Athlete Ally Ambassador program, established by American wrestler Hudson Taylor in 2011. Athlete Ally is an organization that believes everyone should have equal access, opportunity, and experience in sports, regardless of sexual orientation, gender identity, or gender expression. Martin is the first racing driver to join the ranks of ambassadors from a range of sports, including golf, cycling, wrestling, football, hockey, canoeing, and athletics. She said, "As a transgender woman and the first racing driver to join the program, I'm excited by the opportunities that this offers the motorsport community to actively engage in the discussion of equality in our sport. It is long overdue. I hope to show that a career in motorsport is possible regardless of gender identity."
Netball.
Historic season culminates in a fourth-placed finish at Nationals.
An incredible season for Market Harbour Youth Netball Club's under-14 team hit record-breaking heights as they competed in the National Club Finals. The team were the first from Market Harbour to win their regional league, beating all-comers from Northamptonshire, Lincolnshire, Nottinghamshire and Rutland. And, following a further qualifying tournament in April, they won the opportunity to represent the East Midlands at national level. The National Clubs tournament brings together the top 18 teams from the 9 regions of England, with 2 teams representing each region. The first day was a huge success for the Market Harbour youngsters, as they lost only once to the formidable Oldham Netball Club. The results from day 1 saw the 18 teams split into 3 groups, who would compete on day 2 for 3 separate areas of competition. 1st to 6th, 7th to 12th, and 13th to 18th. The grit and determination of their player ensured Harbour, the underdogs of the competition, reached the top 6 group. They took another scalp in their first game on day 2 to reach the bronze medal match, but, despite a valiant performance, they were beaten by Eagles Netball Club to ensure it was a 4th-placed finish. Nonetheless, that represented an outstanding effort, and a statement from the club said, "This team has made history in our region, and has well and truly put Market Harbour on the netball map." What makes this result even more remarkable is that Market Harbour is a completely inclusive club, training all girls who wish to play netball without holding any ability trials ahead of the season, or even during it. The only representatives in this competition not to be a performance pathway club, Market Harbour are hugely proud of their inclusivity and the club ethos that underpins this. The club is run entirely by volunteers who train each of the 7 age groups for 1 hour a week at the Market Harbour Leisure Centre. The club are always looking for help with sponsorship, and anyone who would like more information should email to myyouthnetball@gmail.com.
Shooting.
Katie makes European Game Squad. Howell Rifle Club member Katie Gleeson is to join a strong British team to compete at the 2nd European Games in Belarus this summer. Katie is just one of 2 rifle shooters selected to represent Great Britain in Minsk within a 12-strong shooting squad. The games, which run from June the 21st to the 30th, features 15 sports and 50 participating nations. Although just 24, the university student has already built up an impressive international CV, having won the 2017 European Championships in her big breakthrough season, when she became the British number one. The following year saw her compete on the biggest stage of her career, when she finished 5th in the 2018 Commonwealth Games in Australia, and will be hoping the European Games are her stepping stone to her ultimate goal of the 2020 Olympics in Tokyo.
Speedway.
Perks helps Cubs see off Tigers fight back. The Lion Cubs are through to the last four of the National League Knockout Cup competition after gaining an overall 93-86 aggregate win against last season's finalists, the Mildenhall Tigers, on Sunday. Leicester travelled to Mildenhall, holding a 21-point lead from the first leg fixture at home earlier this month. Despite coming under immediate pressure from the Tigers and ending the day with a 52-38 defeat, Leicester still qualified for the next round. The Mildenhall pairings won 6 of the first 10 races, and by the interval, Leicester's 21-point lead had been whittled down to just 7. After the break, the Lion Cubs began to get the measure of the track, when Ellis Perks won the 11th heat and Dan Thompson secured a point. Heats 12 and 13 ended in a draw, which stalled Mildenhall's momentum, and the results meant the Lion Cubs only needed to score 2 points from the final races to go through to the next round. Daniel Halsey, a late guest replacement for Luke Ruddick, who was absent due to concussion suffered 2 nights earlier, split the home pairing, and his second place was enough to guarantee Leicester safe passage through to the next stage of the Cup. Lions promoter David Darcy said, "We had fantastic travelling support to cheer the team on, and that gave us a boost. We expected that Mildenhall would try to hit us hard early on, and to a degree they did. After the interval, we matched them point for point in the final third of the meeting, which enabled us to win the tie on aggregate, with a little to spare." The Roger Webster-sponsored Lion Cubs will meet the winners of the Plymouth and Stoke tie in the next round of the National League Knockout Cup.
Swimming.
Harborough Quartet performed well in Sheffield.
4 Market Harborough Swimming Club members had the chance to compete at the Midlands Championships at Ponds Forge in Sheffield, having qualified for their event over the last year. Competing in a variety of events and distances, ranging from 50-metre sprints to the gruelling 400-metre individual medley, Laura Sinclair Banks, Emily Kendall, Jane Newman and Josh Wellicombe produced some excellent swims against East Midlands swimmers from bigger clubs and squads such as Nova Centurion, City of Leicester and Loughborough University. Kendall competed in the 50-metre fly, producing a personal best time of 30.8 seconds, and Sinclair Banks also took on the 50-metre fly with the 50-metre backstroke and freestyle, equaling her personal best in the latter. The boys, not wanting to be outdone, also swam exceptionally well. Wellicombe produced best times in the 50-metre fly and freestyle and swam close to best times in the 50-metre and 100-metre backstroke. Newman swam in a variety of events, ranging from the 50-metre breaststroke up to the 400-metre individual medley, and was placed a creditable 14th place in the 17 and over 200-metre breaststroke, which is one of his strongest events. 2 further Harborough swimmers, Candice Hall of Loughborough University and Charlie Poole of City of Leicester, also produced fantastic swims in their events. Hall took second in the 200m fly and won the 400m individual medley, with Poole achieving 6th in the 200m freestyle and producing a cracking time of 4 minutes 4 seconds 0.14 in the heats of the 400m freestyle.
GB team banks on Andy for Euros. International swimmer Andy Banks has proved he is not ready to slow down just yet after retaining his place in the latest British team. Despite claiming veteran status in his sport and facing much tougher qualifying times, Andy claimed his spot for the 2019 European Down Syndrome Championships, which takes place in Sardinia this September. Having initially struggled to achieve the entry times, the Harby swimmer confirmed his spot in the team after a fine performance at last month's Down Syndrome British Championships in Southampton. With competition intensifying, the British entry times were reduced considerably this year, while each swimmer had to qualify in a minimum of 4 events to be considered for selection. Andy has so far met the strict qualifying times for 5 events, and hoped to add more qualifying times in the Melton Pool before the May the 31st deadline. The 32-year-old has already made the grade for the biennial championships at 50m, 100m, 200m and 400m freestyle and 50m butterfly, and also hopes to achieve times for the 800m and 1500m freestyle. Andy is a veteran of the British team and is in his 11th year on the international stage, an achievement only bettered by his friend and teammate Mark Holmes, who joined the GB squad in 2004. The two plan to follow the championships by exploring Sardinia with their dads, Keith and Bill. Earlier this month, Andy, who won the Special Recognition Award at this year's Melton Times Sports Awards, also brought home a six-medal haul from the East Midlands Competitive Disability event, representing Melton Mowbray Swimming Club. The event for physical and learning difficulty swimmers was held at the Braunston Leisure Centre pool and was run on a point system, geared to the swimmer's disability category. It proved a test of stamina for Andy, but he swam well in all events, close to his season's best times to win 200 metres freestyle gold, silver in the 50 metres butterfly and two relays, and two bronze medals at 50 metres and 100 metres freestyle. The results helped crown Andy the overall winner, judged on each swimmer's best four results.
Melton swimmers end championships on a high. Melton Mowbray Swimming Club completed a rewarding East Midlands Regional Championships with another successful weekend at the third and final gala. The club's swimmers again showed great team spirit and superb skills over the two-day event at Ponds Ford, Sheffield, achieving 13 new long-course personal bests and four club records. The event was capped by another medal for Beth Walker, who took silver in the 100 metres breaststroke, while Tia Knightley also won silver over 200 metres at the same stroke. Beth qualified for three finals in all, finishing just 0.1 seconds off a bronze medal in the 200 metres breaststroke, finishing 8th in 100 metres front crawl and achieving a club record of 1 minute 16.08 seconds in that silver medal swim. Tia made it through to four finals, clocking personal bests and club records in the 200 metres breaststroke in 2 minutes and 44 seconds and 400 metres individual medley in 5 minutes 18.20 seconds to finish 5th. She also finished an agonising 4th in the 200 metres individual medley final and 6th in the 100 metres breaststroke final. Clarence Ellingworth set a club record of 1 minute 16.97 seconds to finish 6th in the 100 metres breaststroke final. Other Melton finalists were Tom Rochelle, who set a 100 metres front crawl personal best of 55.85 seconds in finishing 5th. Michael Hill, who was 5th in the 100-metre front crawl, Adam Drew, who was 10th in the 100-metre butterfly, and Imogen Lindsay, who clocked a 100-metre butterfly personal best of 1 minute 12.48 to finish 9th. Imogen also put in a truly gutsy swim to clock another personal best in the 400-metres individual medley, 5 minutes 45.83 seconds. Fleur Ellingworth and Benedict Patter, 100-metre breaststroke, and Josh Tapsell and Katie Parker, 100-metre butterfly, also put in great swims in their heats at this high-level meet. Melton's totaled an impressive 37 personal bests over the three weekends of championship swimming, as well as 13 club records. They reached 25 finals, resulting in 5 silver and 2 bronze medals from the 19 Melton Club members who competed. This has been an excellent achievement for all the swimmers who took part, showcasing what Melton Mowbray Swimming Club can achieve, said Club Chairman Alison Boland. Well done to all of them, and a big thank you to all the coaches, volunteers and supporters who enabled the swimmers to achieve so much.
Tennis.
Loughborough ladies make top two. The 2018-19 season saw the addition of the National Premier League's First Ladies League, a doubles-only event comprised of two pairs. The Loughborough Lawn Tennis Club ladies team started their campaign in the Midlands League in October, winning each of their 7 matches and dropping just 6 sets along the way. Their victory on court over then-second-placed East Anglia proved the most vital, earning them the Midlands Division title and a place at the national finals held at Tennis World Middlesbrough. Loughborough overcame second seeds Bath University 3-1 to secure a place in the semi-finals. The match with Taunton went down to the final rubber, and Loughborough prevailed with the help of an incredible win from Lucy Croucher and Claire Wynne, 10-8, in a third set tiebreak. Awaiting Loughborough were the highly impressive number one seeds, Wilton, who boasted four world-ranked players. There was some great tennis, but Wilton dominated, winning 4-love. Loughborough were awarded £1,500 for a second place in the country after a spectacular run.
Ladies make the most of home advantage. Back-to-back victories have boosted Oakham's ladies' second and third teams after home successes at the Vale. Changed partnerships were again in order for both skippers, Anne Boyce and Joanna Maynard, the latter introducing newcomer Helen Brew, as the wins moved them both into fourth spot after three matches. The ladies' seconds claimed a 6-3 home success in a match which saw the most exciting rubber of the week, when the third pairing of Lisa Hornsby and Sarah Clifford faced the visitors' firsts at the start of the evening. They battled their way with tantalising rallies and sharp drives to reach an even more knife-edged tiebreak. Interceptions, cunning lobs, slices and smashes all featured until 12-10 was reached after more than an hour of play. The visitors won eventually, but Sarah and Lisa went on to win with their other two rubbers, 8-0 and 8-1. Anne Boyce and Hilary McMullen had won their first rubber 8-1, but then faced the fired-up first pair, who were very sharp after their opening match. Mel Jarrett and Laura Reiki also faced the reinvigorated firsts after defeating the other two pairs in a totally different style. The ladies' thirds were also 6-3 winners when they entertained Syston. Established pair Kate Copeland and Sarah Clifford found only the first pair awkward, as did Felicity Selby and Lizzie Loring. Helen Brew and Joanna Maynard boosted their confidence, winning their first rubber, which was a good introduction for the newcomer. Their previous win was at Carisbrook, when Sarah Clifford and Jane Copeland were involved in a very tight tiebreak, which did not go their way, but they won the next two rubbers with ease. Anne Hampson and Shirley Metcalf joined forces for the first time this year and won two rubbers, one very easily, 8-1, the second very tight, 8-6. Joanna Maynard and Lizzie Loring beat their opposite number 8-1, then had a close rubber losing 6-8 before losing the last one in an overall 5-4 victory for Oakham. Debbie Powell's ladies' first team recovered from their defeat at Victoria with a 5-1 win over Market Harborough at the Vale on Monday. The captain and Margaret Miles combined very well together and were quickly off the mark with sharp wins, losing only four games all evening in 8-2, 8-0 and 8-2 successes. Sam Harris and Michelle Greening played strongly together for the first time this year, beating the visitors' firsts and thirds after winning 8-5 and 8-4, but they could not overcome the seconds. Jane Gilmore and Joan Wood were very unlucky to lose a very close tiebreak against the firsts.
Ruthless Melton make it back-to-back wins. Melton Mowbray Tennis Club ladies' first and second teams collected excellent wins in their Leicestershire Summer League matches. The ladies' second team made it two wins out of two when they entertained Corinsbrook B in their Division 3B match and ran out 7-2 winners. First pairing of Laura Haywood and Jelly Golland led the way with a convincing hat-trick of wins, losing just four games, while Ellie Jenkins and Jill Woods weighed in with another three wins. Sarah Medcalf and Alison Stone completed victory with a single set win. Melton's ladies' first team got back to winning ways at Victoria in Division 1 following a tight 5-4 outcome. Skipper Charlie Griffin and partner Sarah Diver paved the way with three convincing wins, well backed up by Georgine Ashmore and Jess Gadsby, who notched two sets to secure the win. Third pairing Carol Gilchrist and Jill Woods, drafted in from the second team, found the going tough but performed well. The men's first team recorded their second Premier Division win when they beat Leicester Forest East 7-2 on the road. First pairing of Pieri Luigi and Eben Stracker-Meads, returned from university in the United States, paved the way with a clean sweep of three sets. Ben McTaggart and Tom Rao, and third pair Ryan Palmer and James Rao, weighed in with two wins each to clinch the points. Melton's second team just failed to give the club a clean sweep when they travelled to table-topping Ginesil Firths in Division 3B. First pairing of Jake Beagle and Ollie Ailey and second pairing of John Stormy and Duncan Bealey collected two wins apiece, but skipper Jason Wheatley and Sam Dryrell were out of sorts and unable to sneak the vital rubber in a tight 5-4 defeat to a solid home team. The club were gifted a quarter-final Mercury Cup win when their opponents Carisbrook were unable to field a team. It puts Melton in the semi-finals for the third year running when they will travel to Oadby on Saturday, June the 8th.
Tigers news.
Tigers men's star in international win. Leicester Tigers wheelchair rugby squad members played a major part in helping Great Britain to win gold in this year's 2019 Four Nations Invitational held in Birmingham, USA. Six of the Tigers squad were involved as Team GB lined up against the world's top-ranked side, Australia, reigning world champions Japan and reigning Paralympic champions the USA. The four-day event saw all four teams win three games and lose three games, with Great Britain qualifying for the gold medal game alongside the host nation, where they posted a 49-47 triumph. Japan beat Australia 54-53 to claim bronze. Tigers players Nick Cummins and Jamie Stead were each voted best in their class as the squad continued their preparations for the Tokyo 2020 Paralympic Games. Tigers' Gavin Walker captained Team GB in Alabama, with Tigers coaches Darren Matthews and Rob Tarr making up the coaching staff alongside team mechanic Jonathan Roach. Cummins said, "I feel our success at the Four Nations tournament could prove to be a watershed moment for our squad. We've been steadily improving over the last few years, but now we have real evidence of our progress." Stead added, "I have been representing GB for 6 years, and within that period, we have been known as a nearly team. It's an amazing feeling to be part of a squad that has finally broken that trend. For me personally, getting best in class was the icing on the cake." Celebrations were limited though, as we're straight back into camp on our return to the UK. The hard work continuing in preparation for this year's European Championships.
You have now reached the end of the audio transcription of the back page. If you'd like to contact the Sound Services Department of Vista, please telephone 0116 249 8839 and leave a message on the answering machine. Thank you for listening. Goodbye.